Merry 3 days before Christmas. Thank you for joining us. I'm really thankful for all of our friends and family and our partner churches and just that we can worship together with all of our children as well. So let me pray for us, and I'll just have a short word for us. And so let's bow our heads, let's close our eyes, and let's invite the presence of God to come, to take the words from the scriptures through my imperfect mind and my mouth, to go out, Jesus is the word, to land in our hearts, and that the Spirit of God would take that in to transform us into new people in the kingdom of God. So let me pray, okay? Oh God, our Father, help us today, God. We thank you, Jesus Christ. We thank you, God, for coming in a manger and being our Savior and our Redeemer. Oh, Holy Spirit, we invite you, God, three in one. Would you come now, God, to come and minister over us, over me and my heart and us. God, I pray that your word would go out through the power of your Spirit to the youngest in this room, to the oldest, God, from languages and nations, and God, just to come and move, Lord, to exalt your Son, Jesus Christ, to lift him up so that we would worship him. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. For our Hispanic and Chinese brothers and sisters, yeah, if you want to snap that, and it'll do a pretty good job trying to translate what I'm saying into your native tongue. So, all right, let me read for us. Probably the most famous, popular, well-known verse in the Bible for centuries, all right? John 3:16, let me read it for us, and then I'll spend about 10 or 15 minutes just unpacking it. And because I don't want to, you know, in this Christmas season, and if you've been a Christian for a while, it's easy to just zoom past John 3:16. It's a very familiar verse to many of us, but you know, I pray that God would, again, use my imperfect mind and my mouth to give you a word, to encourage you, to cause you to have hope and joy and life in the presence of God, in the glory of God in this Christmas season. So let me read for us, okay? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. He gave his Son that whoever believes in him should not perish and die, but have eternal life. Okay. So, Chris, if you could go to the next verse, or the next slide. So we're just going to break it down, all right? I couldn't do it in Chinese and Spanish because I have no idea what it says up there, or like what words are what words. I tried to use ChatGPT and it was pretty good, but I didn't want to make a mistake. So I just circled in red, all right, in English, all right? And we're just going to just talk for, I just want to share for a few minutes, right, what God was laying on my heart as we just break this down, okay? So it starts with God, for God. And I think like, I can read that and I can just zoom right by at like 100 miles an hour. Oh yeah, God. Yeah, okay, God. So, you know, but let's just take a moment. Let's think about this. God, the maker of heaven and earth. God Almighty. God Yahweh. God Adonai. God, our Savior and our Redeemer. The God who just speaks. Angels and heavenly beings 24/7. Thousands and myriads upon myriads are rallied around the throne of God and singing constantly throughout the day, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb. All day, every day, 24/7, if there's even time, right? Like in heaven, just constantly bowing before God and worshiping. And it says, God. And then the next slide, God so loved. Okay? That's a remarkable thing, if you think about it just for a second, that God loves. He, you know, like, he doesn't have to, you know? Like, God could do whatever God wants to do. And he does a lot of stuff. God is quite busy, actually, I think, right? He holds the world and the universes in the palm of his hand. I think there's a lot going on for God. And yet, 1 John chapter 4 says, God is love. Just to clarify, in the Greek, that word so is not like so much, right? It's more like make it so. Make it happen this way. So God, in his way, loved. That's what this verse is talking about. This verse is talking about the very specific way that God loves. Okay? I mean, he does love so much as well, but that word is more so saying, this is the specific way, the unique specific way that God loves. Okay? For God so in this way loves. And then what? Next slide. He loves the world. I pulled four headlines from the news yesterday. Okay? Just yesterday. All right? First headline. At least five people, including a young 9-year-old child, were killed and more than 200 injured as a car plowed into a crowd at a Christmas market in the German city of Magdeburg on Friday. Second headline. The father and stepmother of a severely abused 10-year-old girl found dead in her home in England were sentenced Tuesday to life in prison for murder. Headline number three. Ruby Vergara was an avid reader and full of artistic promise at age 14, according to her obituary. She was one of two people killed in Wisconsin last week when a 15-year-old gunman barged into a Christian private school and killed two people. Fourth headline, 35 children between the ages of 5 and 13 were killed and six others critically injured in a crowd at a fun fair in southwest Nigeria on Wednesday. A nonprofit organization was hosting 5,000 children under the age of 13 at the free event where they could win prizes like scholarships. This is just yesterday. One day of news, and I didn't even get all of it. And God loves this world. This dark, broken world. God, in his way, in his heart, there is a welling up of love in this perfect way. For what? For this world. For you and I. In all of history, God burns with passion and love, and he brings light into that darkness. Hope. For God, in his way, so loved the world. Okay? So what did he do? How does he love? What is the specific way that God displays and manifests his love to this world? He gives. That he gave. Okay? God's a giver. Okay? He doesn't give like I give or like we give in Northern Virginia. You know, I'm walking to Giant and I see a, you know, Salvation Army and I throw a couple dollars in and I have an agenda. I better get that baking stuff for Tammy, right? I gotta be home, right, on time. I got a schedule, right? That's how I give in Northern Virginia. They're like tossing dollars to the left and to the right. God loves this world, and he gives the generosity of God. And then what does he give? His only son. You know, there's like that, this exercise that we do sometimes. If your house is on fire, right? Your house is on fire and you grab you can grab one thing from your house because you got to run out. And I think the exercise is to show you and I what we really value. When everything is burning down to the ground, what are you going to grab? What are you going to save and get out of that house? I'd grab my kids and my wife, you know? All that other stuff. Sure, eventually insurance would figure out what to do with it, right? If you're a parent in this room, I would dare say there's nothing more precious to you in this life than your child, than your children. Okay? I would do anything. Me in my imperfect, sinful ways. And God says that, right? Jesus says that. If you, a father, you know, don't give scorpions and rocks to your kids, you in your sinful ways know how to be a halfway decent parent. Doesn't your Father in heaven know exactly what you need, right? Jesus Christ the Son is God's most precious possession. God the Father loves God the Son. His only beloved, precious child. And in the radical generosity of God, in the specific way that he wants to love this world, you know what he gives us? He gives us his most precious gift, his son. That's what he gives to us. So when you don't get that job, you don't get that promotion, you don't get that thing that you wanted, you know, things are disappointing in life sometimes, and then we shake our fist at God. I do this, and then I shake my fist, and I wag my finger at God, as if he wouldn't give me his best, as if I know better. And what this is saying is, no. God gives you his most precious and treasured possession, his son. Because he loves and he gives. God gives sacrificially and generously. That's the heart of God. Okay. That whoever believes in him should not perish and die because his son brings hope. Right? I didn't mean to do this, but in the beginning when we watched that video, it's from a guy named very famous preacher, Charles Spurgeon from the 1800s. I'm not actually sure if that was his actual voice or if someone, I feel like it couldn't be, right? It's like the 1800s. Anyways, okay, so we'll figure it out later. But Charles Spurgeon, very famous Baptist preacher. And I read this book like 20 years ago, and this story just like stuck with me. He shares this analogy, okay? He shares an analogy of what it means to have faith. And so he's talking about these starfish, okay? Kids, like, you guys know what starfish are? There's like these starfish that are on a rock, right? And then there's a guy walking down, you know, like on the beach, right? And there's these rocks, and then there's these starfish, like dozens and dozens of starfish that are on these rocks. I didn't know this, but apparently, you know, there's a guy, and he's walking with a walking stick. I don't know why he'd do this, but he looks at the starfish, right, one of the starfish on the rock, and he like whacks it with his stick. Maybe he's angry. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But he whacks the starfish on the rock, and the starfish pops off. Pops off. Yeah. It's funny, right? It's kind of scary, all right? I don't know. I don't know if he's angry, had a bad day, but he whacks the starfish, and the starfish pops off, okay? But apparently, I don't know if this is just in England or something, but there's like a this specific starfish, you go to the next one, because there's dozens, right? You go to the next one, and you whack it with the stick, it won't pop off, right? It saw its friend, like, knock off, right? So, like, they get all scared, and they cling with all their life to the rock, okay? Now, does that starfish know everything about that rock? Does it know all the geological and physical and biological properties of that rock and exactly how it's made up? No. But it knows it can cling to the rock. Right? That whoever clings to that rock, Jesus Christ, will not die. Please, let's read our Bibles. Please, let's learn and be taught, and let's study God and know Him. But He will only reveal to us just but a part of who He is. That's faith. That we don't know it all, and that we cling to the rock that is sure. Okay? That whoever clings to that rock will not die. He is so much greater and stronger and merciful. And that's good news. It's such great news that I'm not God. And that He's an amazingly big God. That I can cling to Him in all my wretchedness and my thoughts and all the turmoil every day. And I can come to, like Henry said, I think last week, I'm just one knee away to bow on my knees and come before God. To cling to the rock, that I would not die. So plunge yourself under the flowing blood of Christ. He is a great rock. He's a good God. And lastly, you shall not die, but have eternal life. All those terrible news stories that I read, terrible. I didn't even scratch the surface. There are things that are not being reported. This broken and dying world, right? And God gives us hope. Not because I'm lovable, not because you're lovable, but because He's an amazing rock. He's a great God, merciful God. So come, let's come together. Come and feel the invitation of God. To throw yourself upon Him. He is a mighty God and a mighty rock. Okay, let's pray. I'll pray for us to close, and then I'll invite our brothers and pastors from our partner churches to come up to pray in their native tongue to just bless their congregations and their people. So let me pray for us in English. God, I thank You for the amazingly good news. No matter how hard we try, we cannot reach You, God. And You know that. So You came to us, humbled Yourself, God. You gave us Your most precious gift to live and die on a cross so that we could plunge ourselves underneath the flowing blood that cleanses us and robes us in righteousness, that calls us Your sons and daughters, that gives us hope in this life. God, I pray for Your presence and Your Spirit. God, it would descend upon us. Work in our hearts, God. Heal us and cause us, Lord, to worship You, God. To throw ourselves upon You in this Christmas season, God. To just dwell with You, God. That You dwell among us, God with us, Emmanuel. Thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.